celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves. Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
When carrying a firearm, always treat it as if it were loaded. Always keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you're ready to fire. Never let your muzzle point at anything you're not willing to destroy. And always be sure of your target, its environment, and any other safety hazards. This announcement's been brought to you by TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
I'm Governor Spencer Cox. We live in an incredible state, and this time of year, my family and I, we love to ride. Unfortunately, we've had too many fatalities this year. And while safety equipment is critical, it's not enough. Remember to always be aware of your surroundings and never ride beyond your capabilities. We want to make sure that you make it home safe. And never forget, nobody is invincible.
Sportsman's Warehouse started right here in Utah, and as you probably already know, it's your headquarters for everything hunting. With the season in full swing, Sportsman's Warehouse has everything you need to gear up for the hunts. But if hunting's not your thing, you've got to see the selection of great camping supplies, from tents, sleeping bags, packs, and lanterns, to thousands of accessories. And with football season, let's not forget tailgating. Let's talk grills, pop-up shelters, tables, and chairs galore. There's something for everyone. Sportsman's Warehouse. Utah born, Utah proud.
Play safe on the water. In Utah, youth 12 to 17 must pass an approved safety class prior to operating personal watercraft on Utah waters. Classes are offered statewide. Register now or get more information by calling 801-538-BOAT. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Western Life. Welcome to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Camping in the mountains, fishing in a stream. The great outdoors is where you want to be.
Grover joins us in the garden once again with Utah's Best Gardening. Thank you again for taking time with us.
Hey, this is one of my favorite times of the month. I get to go out, talk to people in Radio Land about my favorite thing, gardening.
I know aspen trees really struggle here in the valleys, but there are other things that can do very well here in the valleys.
Yeah, and a lot of the trees that we don't know. Now, I mentioned that these two maples are really good. Now, I like a maple, but my street is absolutely full of maples because that's what was available when most of the houses on the street were built. Or maples, Norway maples. We got a lot of Norway maples. I like diversity. So some I'll look at is Zelkova. I can get Zelkovas that are 40 to 60 feet tall, and I can get Zelkovas that are 20 to 30 feet tall, depending on variety. Ask your nurseryman, then do a little bit of research on your own. And you could find a Zelkova, even columnar Zelkovas, that will fit into just about any size area that most of your other trees would fit into. Great trees. I've got a row of them on the south side at where I work, and they are in compacted soil. They have not been taken care of as well as they should. And they're doing fine. I am cutting out some dead limbs that have accumulated over the years, but they're doing fine, and other trees in that area are not. Good tree. Something to look at is a Zelkova, and depending on the variety you can get a nice brownish, rusty color for your fall foliage that I personally love. Again, I don't necessarily need the bright oranges, but I just love that subtle redness to it. A lot of people like that. Most may not, but a lot of people still like that. I certainly appreciate it. In fact, I'm looking forward to those changing color because it's been a long time since I've seen a good row of Zelkovas, so that'll be good. We can look at something like a hackberry tree. Now, hackberry is going to be yellow for fall color. It's kind of unexciting that way, but it's a really nice yellow. They're a really sturdy tree. They're drought resistant. We even have a native hackberry in our mountains here. The cultivated varieties aren't quite as tough, but they're actually really quite tough. That is one that you should be looking at. I really think that you need to take a look at some of the columnar oaks that are available now. When we were young, in fact, when I was in school 20-whatever years ago, which is in my book still relatively recent, there were not nearly as many options on your columnar oaks as there are now. They've done a lot of breeding in the last 20 years, and it used to be you hit about year 40 on a columnar oak, and it would go from 15 feet wide to 40 within a very short period of time because it had grew really, really long branches, and then those would get heavy, and just one day a windstorm, a snowstorm would hit, and they'd all just chewing down, and you'd have a pyramidical 40-foot-wide tree that wasn't that way before. The modern oaks have much shorter limbs, and so that columnar attitude they take stays. And so if you were to go to a Kindred Spirit or a Regal Prince, those are going to stay much more solidly columnar. And these are great for the smaller lots we have now because you can get a nice oak and it doesn't take up the whole property. If you get a bur oak, that's going to be 65 feet across. That's about as big as my entire property if I were to plant it in the center. Get a Regal Prince? Oh, yeah, I could stuff that anywhere 15 feet wide. I think Kindred Spirit's a little bit narrower. Those are really a good choice. And oaks are tough. Oaks are tough. It's funny because I had a friend in college, and he chose to research oaks. Oh, I'd never plant an oak because they're susceptible to this, and this is going to get them, and that's going to get them, and they're always going to be sick. Yeah, but these things don't kill these oaks. He looked at me. So you got a little galls on them. Not going to kill it. You make ink out of the gall, too, so there's a benefit that way. And so, yeah, an oak can die, but, man, you can throw a lot at it before it decides to die. So the columnar oaks really should be really looked at more, really looked at. Get a good, healthy one. Plant it well. Don't plant it too deep. And your grandchildren will be playing around it. Great tree. The other ones I want to talk about are the elms. Now, I could hear the shockwave go through the earth as I said elm.
Yep, I know, and a lot of people have problems with them.
Yeah, and the problem we have is with one species, and that is the Siberian elm, which is not truly a Chinese elm. It's a Siberian elm. There is a difference, trust me, on it. You can research it, and you can find it out. That's okay, too. But the Siberian elm is the weakest. It's the sickest. It's not a great tree, but it survives. But there are other elms. They have disease-resistant American elms, which are going to be a bit big for a modern lot, but they're out there. You've got a lace bark elm that has beautiful patterns that show up on the bark. Great trees. I worked with those when I was at BYU. I have no complaints. Great tree. Very ornamental, not too big. Your biggest problem with the lace bark elm is having to do a lot of pruning when it's young because it's just going to want to put branches down low. At BYU, that wasn't too much of a problem, but I think a homeowner may have a little bit more difficulty because they don't have a professional pruning crew. But that one's well worth planting. And if you've got a good nursery, meaning somebody who's going to tell you the truth and not just try and sell you a tree, they're going to have some good elms, and just talk to them. What size is it going to be? What problems does it have? Now, almost any elm can get scale, so you may have to treat some scale. But most of these, scale is the only thing you'll have to worry about. And some of those, even then, scale is not going to be that bad on. Depends on species and variety. Great trees. And they get maligned because, again, the elms we're familiar with really aren't very good. Oh, well, let's plant better ones, and then we won't have to worry about it.
Now, there's a lot of these trees that have great height, great color, but the understory is also another thing we should be thinking about. Currant bushes, for example, have a great color this time of year.
Yeah, actually, my native golden currant is starting to turn right now. I didn't notice it as much last year as I was working so hard at this point last year. But this year I'm seeing the color. And I'm going to say, I've got to give a shout-out to sumacs. Oh, my gosh, the sumac colors are so awesome. If you look at low-growth sumac, you're going to get a nice orange. If you look at any of the other sumacs, really, are going to get good fall color. And we do not use that fall color wisely. And I can get sumacs. Low-growth is going to get maybe 2 feet, maybe 2.5 feet tall. Then you go to your smooth sumac, and it's going to be, depending on how much you water it, it's going to be somewhere from 3 to maybe 12 feet tall. And then you've got your staghorn sumac, and it's probably most of the smaller varieties, I think, start out about 6 foot tall. And it can go up to maybe 15 or 20. It's just really great color. Some really interesting shapes on some of these. Choose those wisely, though, because a lot of them are clonal, which means they'll send up shoots from the roots. And so focus on finding one that's less likely to do that. The tiger eye sumac is supposed to be less spready that way. I'm not sure if I agree with that. Just beware. Now, the low grow, on the other hand, does not have that problem. So if you want a nice low color, low grow is great. You'll be happy with that. You won't have any problems with that.
It's great. I mean, you get a yard that has a lot of color this time of year. I mean, it just pops when the sun hits it just right.
I think it's really good that you said that about lower color on shrubs. because that is an area where we really forget. With the exception of burning bush, we do not look at shrubs that have good fall color very often. And burning bush is great, but it does not like Utah's hot, dry climate. And they've gotten more sickly looking as I've gotten older, which is a good indication of climate change alone. Because I'm telling you, 20 years ago, they were not as finicky as they are now. I wouldn't really recommend planting one of those now unless you've got something that has to have that. I think your sumacs are a better option. I think, gosh, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm trying to think through the nursery and think what's got color, and I'm going blank on it. But there are other really good fall color shrubs. Oh, yeah. Any serviceberry is going to give you good fall color. You're going to give you good fall color, and you can get a serviceberry that gets up to 25 feet tall, and you can get a serviceberry that stops about 5 or 6 feet tall. Well, 8 feet tall. You can get columnar serviceberries. You can do all sorts of things with a serviceberry. They're always going to have great fall color. So that's one you really need to look at. And you get fruit, and it's actually pretty good.
Lots of good options there. And take some time at the nursery. This is a good time of year to buy stuff from the nursery.
Yeah. This time of year, we don't have as good a selection as you do in, say, spring. But, gosh, it is such a good time to plant. And if you want a little bit of time with a good nursery man or woman, this time of year, you can get a good conversation because they're not totally stressed out running around. Make it worth their while, and you can get a lot of good information and some good attention to help you get the right plant. And when I worked in the nursery, I did my darndest no matter what time of year it was. The reality is, May and June, I'd be circulating between 5 clients on a Saturday, trying to help them out at the same time. This time of year, on a bad day, I'll have maybe 2 at the same time, but usually one comes in earlier, one comes in later, so I got the time to spend with them. So it's a good time to buy if you can find what you want. And I bought my Arkansas Black 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I think Lowe's has got them on sale now, so I don't know if there's any left, but go check out Lowe's if you want an interesting apple. At least check. Because you don't get those at big box stores usually. Just don't ask them for plant help because they're not very good. Did I say that? Yes, I did.
I think all of us have experienced that at one time or another.
Be careful in how you choose your nursery. So many people choose it by what's cheapest. It's okay to go get a cheap tree. This O. Henry peach I've got, I went down to the local nursery. They had some really bedraggled stuff in the fall, and I got talking to them, and they gave me a screaming good deal on a tree that was sickly. It's doing great now. Admittedly, I know a little bit about making plants do well, and I have no regrets on buying that tree. It is in good shape. It's filled out. It's got good, strong roots. I'm happy. So price, a good deal can be a good deal. Now, somebody with less experience may not have had as good a turnout from that tree. That's okay. I mean, you don't buy something you're uneasy about, and buy what you're confident in, but don't do it solely on price. If you've got a nursery that's helping you, giving you good choices, and is saying, hey, listen, I know I've got this tree in stock. I don't think it's good for you. Take a listen. Take a listen, because they may sell you a tree that's actually cheaper because it'll do better. That's really an important thing to think about. When I was at the nursery, I would tell people, hey, I am not going to sugarcoat something. I will tell you if this is not a good tree. Aspens are not good trees for the valley areas of the Wasatch Front. They're just not. But I would try and guide them to good trees, how to plant them well so they'd have good success. Part of that was self-preservation. I don't want to replace a tree. But a good chunk of that was, I want you to have a good experience with your tree. And if you spend time talking to your nursery person for a while, you'll start figuring out the people that do that, because there's always that one salesman who will sell you anything. And then there's a person who's like, hey, let's see what your needs are. Let's meet your needs. And by the way, this may not be something you want. and this is the reason why. You get a nurseryman like that or a nurserywoman, I know some really great women in the field, you go with that.
They become friends. The next time you come in, they already know what you're looking for. They can point you in the right direction in the future purchases too.
I would try getting back into the nursery field, but I've realized that even though I enjoyed it because of the autism, I pay a price for talking to lots of people every day. And that's very rough on me. And it doesn't matter how good I am. It doesn't matter how good I am at helping them or how good the experience was for both of us. It inherently stresses me on a level that I can't correct for. And so I had to back out of that. It makes me sad because I still think I've got a lot to give there. I just can't do it safe for myself. I've had to move on. But look for that person and work with them. Get to know the coworkers, because if they're really good, they're going to get so busy they may not have as much time. And find out which of those coworkers are new and that they're going to give you that same kind of service. Because a nursery or any organization is going to tend to attract people with the same kind of values. And so if you care about the plant and you care about getting the right plants for the customer, you're going to want to hire somebody like that and you're going to want to work with somebody like that. And that's part of the reason I have a nursery I've worked with, and they want to hold on to me for as long as they can because I can provide that the same way that the manager does. And I have to go tell them sometime that I'm not coming back next year and they're not going to be happy, which is okay. I mean, yeah, I get it. And if I could do it, but the strain's just wearing on me. So anyway, look for those things. Look for a good nursery person. Look for a good nursery. If you go in and they've got something like blueberries, ask them why they've got blueberries. The last time that happened in a nursery, it was an accidental order. The boss wanted to get a few. He knew he'd have some specialty clients that knew how to take care of them, and he put an extra zero on it. So we ended up with 40 blueberries, not happy. But if anyone asked, I'd tell them it was a mistake. Yeah, we wanted a few. We did not want this many. Don't buy them.
Not a game plan for most folks.
And there were a lot of clients, so I told, don't buy them. Don't buy them. And we finally sold them to a landscaper who knew what the deal was, and she promptly didn't have time to take care of them and never got them out of her pots. But she knew how to take care of them, so that was her call.
Let's take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. When we return, we'll continue our discussion with Mr. Alex Grover with Utah's Best Gardening. And when we come back, we're talking lawn care in the fall. Stick around. More fun is on the way here on Western Life Radio. Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Don't let your next family outing end in tragedy. Don't drink and ride. Driving an OHV under the influence of alcohol is no different than driving your car under the influence of alcohol. Law enforcement officers will be out checking riders and operators of OHVs. You could end up seeing jail time, loss of driver's license, the same stiff penalties that apply to operating a car. This message is from the Utah Division of Parks and Recreation. Ride responsibly.
No matter what's bugging you this summer in your garden, the USU Extension Service Integrated Pest Management Program can help you find solutions.
From free fact sheets and books to seminars and updated pest advisories, this website will point you in the right direction. To find these and other free resources, stop at extension.usu.edu/pests.
Put on your helmet. Let's go.
But, Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet, too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities,
yes, bass fishing at Sand Hall State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure. Explore Utah and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov.
Hi, this is Jeff Johnson from Be Ready, Utah. Have you ever been in an earthquake? There are a lot of things occur during an earthquake that a lot of people don't realize are going to happen, both during the earthquake and in the time afterwards. I went through a 7.7 earthquake in Japan many years ago, and I will tell you, I wasn't ready. I'm going to tell you some of the things you may want to think about that are going to occur during and pursuant to an earthquake. First thing is, most people don't realize they'll hear the earthquake before you feel it. Not very long, a few seconds, but you'll definitely hear, and it will sound like a freight train coming towards your house. Most people haven't trained themselves to drop cover and hold on. This is critical, because in the first moments of violent shaking, your life is in jeopardy. And if it's a severe earthquake, you need to be able to get underneath something and protect yourself. Don't ever run outside. That's far more dangerous, 22 times more dangerous than drop covering and holding onto something. Why do you hold on? Furniture and objects will move. In a large earthquake, they will go wall to wall, and you'll both be subjected to them moving around with you and them possibly injuring you. Your utilities are going to go out. That means gas, water, power, phone, they're going to be down. How long were they down for us? 30, 35, 40 days. You will need to be prepared for an extended period of time without utilities, water and food and sanitation. Most people don't think about how to take a bath when the water's not running. How much toilet paper do you need? I know we've had runs on toilet paper recently, but we needed 8 weeks worth of toilet paper, and you might as well. How do you bathe when the water's out for 35 days? It could be out for months in some areas, so you might want to give some consideration about your personal hygiene and your sanitation. Very few people think about how difficult travel will be after the earthquake. Bridges will be out, overpasses will be down, buildings will have collapsed in the road, the pavement will be broken up, and it could possibly take a year or more to rebuild some of these. Roads are not repaired quickly, and realize you might have some travel problems. Also, what if your windows break out? What's the temperature outside? Well, whatever the temperature is outside, it will most likely fit the temperature inside your house, unless you have a way to seal up your windows and close off an area and heat it. Think about sealing up your windows and making sure that you have a way to keep your home heated or cool if that's a necessity. You need to be prepared for things that are not often talked about or ever discussed. And these are some of the ideas that you can find at the Be Ready Utah website at BeReadyUtah.gov. Please join us there for more information about how to survive an earthquake and not become a victim. Thanks for listening.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit Rise Broadband. BroadBand.com or call 844-411-RISE.
When you look at the number of disasters in the U.S., chances are every area will deal with some kind of emergency in the next decade. And between school, sports, and social lives, chances are you won't be with your kids when it happens. Will they know what to do? Ready.gov/kids has the educational tools and information to make the conversation easy. When the time comes, chances are they'll feel prepared, not scared. So talk with your family today.
Sportsman's Warehouse started right here in Utah, and as you probably already know, it's your headquarters for everything hunting. With the season in full swing, Sportsman's Warehouse has everything you need to gear up for the hunts. But if hunting's not your thing, you've got to see the selection of great camping supplies, from tents, sleeping bags, packs, and lanterns, to thousands of accessories. And with football season, let's not forget tailgating. Let's talk grills, pop-up shelters, tables, and chairs galore. There's something for everyone. Sportsman's Warehouse. Utah born, Utah proud.
Now back to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Welcome back to Western Life Radio. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff, host of this program. We have Mr. Alex Grover with us with Utah's Best Gardening. As we approach November quickly, let's talk lawn care real quick. What are some things that we need to be looking at as far as fall preparation? This is an important time of the year to care for your lawns, especially as we come into winter. You can make a lot of differences now, which will inhibit a lot of weeds in the future.
Anybody who's listened to me for any period of time or talked to me, I'm not a lawn person. However, if you're going to have a lawn, you should at least take care of it well. And you talk about getting rid of weeds. We are now cool enough that you can use your 2,4-D. You can use your Speed Zone, you can use your Trimec, you can use your Quinclorac safely, and you can knock the snot out of your field bindweed. You can hit it in such a way that it spasms, and it may recover eventually, but it will hate you forever, and it will fear you forever. Now's a good time to do that. Don't wait too long, because as it gets cooler, the plant will go dormant, and then it's too late. So you want green leaves, and you want to have them there long enough to soak up a good lot of the poison so that gets moved into the root. So with these tough-to-kill plants, you can kill the top, and you can kill the top, and you can kill the top, but you've got to kill the roots, or the top will come back. And that is a fact of life. So keep that in mind. Now's the time to be aggressive. And with these perennial weeds, they are sucking up energy, and they're turning it into sugar, and they're sending it down to the roots for storage for the winter. And so if you spray a poison on them, you've got a much higher chance for that poison to go down into the roots and make a really big difference. Take it. I didn't get it done today. I'm always behind on projects. This is me. But in this next week, I'm going to go out and I'm going to hit all my perennial weeds and try and make them just hate me and fear me and loathe me even. I'm good with being loathed if it's field bindweed.
Yeah, bindweed. It's an aggressive one. It's hard to beat that throughout the year.
Yeah, and the late spraying is one of the keys, because that's, again, when it is transporting stuff down to the roots. And if you can get your poison to the roots, even if you don't kill it, it's going to take a while to recover. And if you do that for a couple of years in a row, you can start seeing a lot less. You'll never get rid of it, but it will not be dominant if you keep up with that. So the other thing on lawns, big deal, depending on when your last fertilization was, mine was kind of late, because we have been doing so much up at the hospital that my boss actually had to say, hey, we need to go get fertilized. I'm like, yeah, I need to go. I had a lot at the time, but it's been hectic. So my last fertilization was late, but before your grass goes dormant, you want to give it one last fertilization, because that nitrogen will get stored in the roots. This isn't true of all plants, but it is true of our common turf grasses. That would be your rye, your fescue, and your bluegrass. And bluegrass is by far the most common. Get some nitrogen in there. It's not a heavy dose. If you get some nitrogen in, it will store and it'll green up a lot quicker in the spring.
That's good advice. And as far as height, we always talk about mowing high. Do we do the same thing here in the fall?
I do not like doing that in the fall because if it's high, it tends to get flattened, and then it gets flattened, it traps water, and it gets moldy. I like my grass to be low, cut generally late October, although sometimes depending on weather, it can be early October or even early November. You got to play with it and see what it's doing. But about the time it goes brown, I want to shave it down, not absolutely down, but I want it fairly low. I normally mow as high as my mower will go, which is about 3.5 inches. But I'll lower my mower down to my lawn. It's going to be somewhere between 1.5 to 2 inches. I've got a really rough lawn. If you have a nice lawn, yeah, you can go down 1 inch. And as long as you're not cutting into the soil or tree roots, take it down low. And you'll find that it's going to be much less likely to have disease issues come spring. And when it does kick into gear and start growing, you'll actually see the green quicker because you won't have all that brown crud on top. So this is the one time, well, there's two times. I want to cut low in the fall before it gets too cold. Then as it starts growing in March or April, I'll also cut it low, again, to get down anything that you missed during the fall or anything that grew after you mowed it and got taller than maybe you want, and you cut it down, and then those new shoots come up. You can see them quicker. It's growing just as quick, but visually it's greener quicker. So get that late fertilization on it, mow it low, and then again in the spring, just as it's starting to grow, mow it low again. Visually, it gives you a really awesome look. It's not like you're juicing the plant like a lot of programs are. You're just making it easier for that grass to show off.
I like that. That's good advice. And also, at the same time, we're going to be losing leaves from these trees that we've been just talking about. Fall color comes on, the leaves fall off. Don't throw those leaves away.
This one really does a good job. It's a leaf shredder. And all it is really, it's a weed whacker that's put in a bin and hung upside down. And you just put your leaves in there, and the weed whacker chops them. I've tried a bunch of different things. I will always probably use a lawnmower as long as I've got lawn, which hopefully in 2 years I won't have any lawn. But this one really does a good job. I've had leaf vacuums, both homeowner grade and commercial grade. I know there are better leaf chippers out there, but for under $200, I'm really happy. It's a Works. W-O-R-X. And take some time and effort. It's not a lot of power, and once I get those leaves shredded, I have better water penetration. I can use those just straight up mulch, or I can compost them. And I put out, about this time of year, I need to do it again, put out a call on Facebook to my neighbors and say, hey, you got any leaves? And so I can fit about 5 bags, decent-sized outside garbage bags, into my car. It's kind of messy, but I can fit them in. And then last year, I even got all the leaves from one of the local churches because, hey, it's no dump fee if they take them to Crazy Brother Grover, and he uses them, and we don't have to dump them. Everyone's happy. And so I'm finally processing what I got last year because I just couldn't keep up with it. And this tool makes it so much quicker and easier compared to what I've been using. So if you're an American Fork, you got leaves, let me know. I'll use them. Just as long as I don't have walnuts in them, because I got enough walnuts trying to grow out in the back from previous leaf drops. Anyway, and that wouldn't be a problem if I had room for them. I do adore having a walnut tree. It's not logical for me with the room I have.
Right now is the time when water systems will be shutting off very quickly if they haven't done already. Anything we need to keep in mind as far as putting those to bed?
If you are planting this fall, which I really strongly recommend, make sure you have an alternate way to water your new plants. Trees, especially the first year, can be fragile. If we have a dry winter, you'll need to go out and put some water on them. You just need to get the soil wet a little bit, and it's not going to evaporate quick when it's cold. If it gets warmer, that'll change. If you're putting in perennials this time of year, something put in the spring won't need it, but perennials put in now will possibly need some extra water. Again, if we don't have a lot of snow through the winter. And again, it's not like a huge amount. You just need to go out. A lot of times I'll do it with a watering can just to keep those roots wet during a cold period when they haven't developed enough roots to handle it. Again, your established shrubs, your established trees, your established perennials shouldn't need that for the most part, although your evergreens may need it because they are, we call it transpiration. That's when water evaporates out of the plant. Because they have green leaves, they are transpiring, and if it gets dry, they'll need water. So just keep that in mind. Other than that, you've got some special conditions that need it, but most things that are established will do fine.
Speaking of planting again, it's time to plant garlic.
It is, and I was thinking about that, and I have not ordered any. I would like to try something other than what I've been doing forever, which is go to the store, buy a bulb of garlic, and plant it. I really think that I need to see if anybody local has any nice varieties that are just a little bit different than the California white that the supermarket sells. I just need to expand my horizons. I'm also going to say this. Again, this is Lowe's again, but I walked in and they had, you'll never guess what kind of bulb.
Do they have garlic even?
Saffron.
Saffron? No way.
Yeah, they have a saffron crocus, which is great because it's a fall-blooming crocus, so unless you have other fall-blooming crocuses, you don't have to worry about mixing it up. You get the right plant. There's not a lot of bulbs in it, but dang it, I can grow my own saffron, and by golly, I've been wanting to. And I walked in like, okay, I'm buying this. It is not highly expensive. I'm not always a big fan of big-box stores, but if they're providing what I need, and I have a hard time getting it elsewhere, yeah, I'll do it. And the only time I've seen an Arkansas Black at a nursery is when I bought it when I was the buyer. Yeah, my job is still scraping the ground, but hey, I bought a bunch of crocuses for my wife, and I'm going to wait till plants have started dying down a bit so I've got a better access to the soil. And I'm going to plant my crocuses. And I'm going to plant my saffron crocuses in a place where I know they're at, where I won't forget them. And it'll be a while before I'm harvesting saffron, and it won't be a lot. But by golly, I'm going to do saffron. In fact, saffron, the only reason why I wouldn't recommend it as a crop for Utah is because it's going to be more expensive than what we buy because the manpower is very labor intensive. So get your saffron. Get your interesting fruit trees. If you can find it this time of year, it's a really good planting time for most plants. It just is really a great planting time.
If folks do want information, they can always stop by your Facebook page or your YouTube page.
On Facebook, it's Utah's Best Gardening. I try and keep this focused on Utah issues. We do stick with the science. There are a lot of people who don't like me because I'm pretty honest on it, and I tell people when it doesn't work or when it's going to do damage. And some people don't like hearing that. I don't think that it's a good thing to give advice that's bad, and I think that people deserve to have honest, good advice. that works and that's been proven. So many times somebody gets on there and says, well, this is the key to growing this plant or this is the key to that. I'm like, so what else did you do? Oh, well, I was having problems, so I did this and I did this and I did this and I did this and I did this all in the same year. How do you know this is what worked? Because it did. Okay, well, you don't know that. And that means a couple of years ago, I will say I was advising this, but I've learned better. And to me, that's good because that means I'm not stuck in the past and what I learned 20 years ago. I had some teachers teach me some bad stuff in college. They said stuff that is not accurate. I think they did it with good intent, but they didn't do the research and they didn't really look at stuff. I think everyone deserves a little bit better than that, and I try and provide that and give them the best so that they can have a good experience. If you don't have a good experience in gardening, and it's because I gave you bad advice, that's on me. I don't want that. So I will do my darndest to give good advice that's backable and hopefully even, gosh, scientifically tested. Wow, that's nice. I love that scientific testing.
Again, where do people find you?
On Facebook, it's Utah's Best Gardening. On YouTube, I'm aiming at a larger audience, although you'll find it's very locally based anywhere, and that would be GrowHow.
Fantastic, Mr. Alex Grover, joining us once again with Utah's Best Gardening. Thank you again for taking time with us. Have a fantastic October.
It's good talking to you, Brian. It's good talking to everyone out in Radio Land. And, hey, you know, we're heading into fall, but garden on.
Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov. Storing apples properly will extend the time you enjoy your harvests. We're finding a cool, dry place next on Western Life Radio.
When carrying a firearm, always treat it as if it were loaded. Always keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you're ready to fire. Never let your muzzle point at anything you're not willing to destroy. And always be sure of your target, its environment, and any other safety hazards. This announcement has been brought to you by TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Get online, on board, and on track with Utah State Parks online education for OHVs and PWCs. OHV education is required for youth aged to 15, and PWC education is required for youth aged 12 to 17. Utah's personal watercraft and off-highway vehicle youth education programs required by law are now online at www.stateparks.utah.gov.
Extend the shelf life of your apples through proper storage. Alex Grover with Utah Gardeners shares a few tips.
So you pick it, and then you've got your plan for preserving it, whether drying it, freezing it, canning it, or whatever. I've got to make sure I use it before it starts losing its texture and flavor. It'll lose texture and flavor before it goes absolutely rotten, but a boring apple is a boring apple, so I want to eat it when it's still good and fresh. The garage kind of depends. I have a freestanding garage, so it gets pretty darn chilly in there in the winter. If you have an attached garage that lives off some of the heat of the house, you can do that. For me, it's going to have to be my basement storage room I've got no heat vents in there, although I have heat ducts running through there. One of my goals is eventually get that insulated off so it doesn't leach as much heat out into an area where I don't want it. But keep it in a cool place, a dry place. Basements in Utah quite often are fairly dry. We don't have as much water around. If your basement's kind of moist and musty, then I would bypass that for storage. If you have a refrigerator, like down in the basement or in the garage, where you can get down to about 50 degrees, but if somebody out there is willing to correct me, I may be wrong on that. But if you can kick an old refrigerator up to about 50 degrees, that's a pretty good place to store them at that temperature. You definitely don't want to get freezing temperatures, which is why my garage is a great place for it. I'm pretty sure I can get stuff frozen in there in the winter time. And the other thing too is when you're storing your apples, the ones that don't have bruises, that don't have worms in them, are of course going to store longer.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
I'm Governor Spencer Cox. We live in an incredible state, and this time of year, my family and I, we love to ride. Unfortunately, we've had too many fatalities this year, and while safety equipment is critical, it's not enough. Remember to always be aware of your surroundings and never ride beyond your capabilities. We want to make sure that you make it home safe. And never forget, nobody is invincible.
Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities.
Yes, bass fishing at Sand Hall State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woohoo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure. Explore Utah and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov.
Play safe on the water. In Utah, youth 12 to 17 must pass an approved safety class prior to operating personal watercraft on Utah waters. Classes are offered statewide. Register now or get more information by calling 801-538-BOAT. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
Put on your helmet. Let's go.
But, Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet, too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Travel, exploring the woodlands, the red rocks and streams. He's sharing his campfire from season to season. New places and people with stories and dreams. Through cadence of nature, the wilderness beckons. A song of the mountains rings out through the trees. The voice of the backcountry echoes forever. It carries the message, live wild and free. Wild and free. The song.
folks, you've been listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and Western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.